Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, and good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have an incredible show for you today. We have a little bit of girl power and a little bit of magic that we're going to be sharing today, but I just can't go ahead and introduce these lovely young ladies until you participate in the show. That's what we do. We need your full participation. We need you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone who needs to hear this information. And for what I've seen from the guests backstage, oh, you do not want your network, your friends, your spouse, your child, your parent, anyone you know to miss this episode, because we're going to learn a lot, but we're also going to laugh a lot. So as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to do my job and introduce our first guest, Ms. Martha Hunt Handler. Martha sees magic at work everywhere around her. She doesn't believe in coincidences, only co-incidents, things that we hear, see, or feel that help remind our soul of its path. She appreciates the phrase grow or wilt and thinks that what we're all here for, to continually expand our hearts and minds as we navigate our way through the plethora of experiences we are presented with for this purpose. Good morning, Martha. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm wonderful, Sharifa. Thank you for having me.
I love that. I tell people all the time, I don't believe in coincidences either. So I love to hear your view. I love to learn more about you, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Okay. So I grew up in Northern Illinois on the Wisconsin border, pretty much surrounded by woodlands. And my brothers were 9 and 11 years older, so didn't want a lot to do with me. And my parents were busy. So I was often just wandering in the woods by myself. And I could hear the voices of plants and animals really distinctly, and learned pretty quickly that not other people couldn't do the same. So I sort of had this understanding always that I was supposed to be a voice for nature. I became an environmental consultant and never quite felt fulfilled doing that, and was always trying to figure out what was really my passion. And I think it was writing, but my dad had told me when I was like 7 that writers don't make money, and you know, that can't be a living. You could do that on the side. And I unfortunately listened to him. So it took me a while to find my voice. But when I had my best friend called one day to tell me that she found her son hanging, It was the critical element in my life that woke me up, because she and I had grown up very spiritually to believe that, you know, death is just part of a grander life circle. You'll come around again. It's not the end of anything. But given that he was 12, I had a really hard time figuring out how to be a friend to her. What do you say to somebody who's lost a child, and especially in that way? And then when I went to the funeral, I understood that on top of that, she had blame and shame and guilt that it was a suicide. And people were only coming up to her, not her husband, and saying, why didn't you get him to a doctor? Why wasn't he on medicine? Like, and it was just like all the stuff thrown on her. And the truth was he didn't show any signs of, he had a lot of friends. He was very athletic. He was very smart. There was just no indication for any reason that he would take his life. So I was journaling every day at this point, just trying to understand why I couldn't be a better friend and how I couldn't find words to express how I was feeling about all this. And suddenly I began to hear her son's voice, and he was telling me that my journal entries were the beginning of a novel, and that he wanted me to use his story to start my book. So my book, Winter of the Wolf, takes a 15-year-old protagonist, Bean, who finds her brother hanging, and he was a couple of years older than her, and it was her soulmate and reason for living. They were very close, and she cannot accept that he died of a suicide, that there has to be some other explanation. Even though the coroner has determined it was a suicide, there was no sign of struggle, nothing. It happened at home. There was no reason to believe anyone broke into the house. But she can't really grieve for him because, like, who was he if he could have done this? And I don't know that about him. So she and her friends start going on this kind of quest to figure out if there's anything they kind of miss. They talk to every one of his friends. She talks to other family members. They do a shamanic ritual. They read all of, he was very into Inuit beliefs, so just very Native American beliefs. And they read all that to see if there's anything in there that explains it all. It's a mystery, so I don't want to give away the endings. Suffice it to say, it wasn't a suicide in the real life situation or this situation, but it took a while to come out. But the real takeaway is that, you know, it matters not how someone dies. It matters that they were in your life for any time at all, and what you gained and were able to grow from having had that soul in your life. And that has always been sort of the, like, the touchstone of my life, that I just feel like I think you can grieve positively and negatively. And if you're just stuck in a loop, it's a pretty going nowhere, getting nowhere, maybe even going further down. And if you can grow with your grief and just appreciate that you had the soul and wow, all the gifts that were, you know, blessed upon you from having that person, that it's such a better way to grow. And so side of this, the reason it's called Winter of the Wolf is because the Inuits believe that you have the ability to go back and forth between animals and humans. So a wolf shows up and may or may not be her brother. You'll have to figure out what you think about when you read the book. But I had had a wolf in my dream since the time three, four, is my earliest memories. And the wolf was always sort of on a path that I wasn't on, showing me that this might be a better way to go. Was always a black wolf, and it was male. Other than that, I don't really know much about it. But, you know, if someone would say, what's your totem animal? I'd like immediately say wolf. I had a lot of wolf statues and things around and always loved wolves, but I'd never seen one in real life. When we moved from Los Angeles to New York 26 years ago, I started hearing wolves, and they had been wiped out of New York State about 125 years ago. So it was kind of didn't make any sense. I followed the howls one day into the woods behind my house and came upon three wolves in an enclosure. And there was a trailer, and I knocked on the door, met this beautiful French woman who told me, this is, you know, I'm starting a wolf center here, would love to have your help. And it was like, this fell from heaven, because this is just perfect. This is how I wanted.
Well, it seems like a coincidence, but like we both said, there are no coincidences. Now, Martha, what you had to say just blew me away. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because one of the things that I've learned, I'm almost up to 300 episodes of the Roundtable Talk Show. And if you watch the first few episodes, maybe the first 50, 60 episodes, I was not asking the question, what are you passionate about? It was just, hey, Martha, how you doing? What do you do? And what started to happen is after the show, people would say to me, I really wanted to talk about this. And I didn't have the opportunity, because so often what we're passionate about is not what we do. So just from the information I had, I never would have went in that direction. I never would have seen that. But even when you started talking about being a small child and talking to the plants, I almost wanted to interrupt when you moved on and go, wait a minute, I want to hear about this plants and talking to the plants, because I never heard that. And then you went on to this other thing. And I'm like, oh my God. We have to go into it. But Martha, I want to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. But what we're going to look for, I think the theme today is going to be coincidences. So I know we're all women, we're all female, but something tells me we're going to have a lot more in common than just that. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, the lovely, amazing Miss Alexandra Figueroa. Alexandra is a brand builder, performance coach, and inspirational speaker. Alexandra specializes in working with public figures, high performers, influencers, CEOs, and other aspirational mission-driven brands. As a former banker and celebrity publicist, she combines decades of strategy experience with her coaching and healing background to empower clients to build a mission-based brand they love and share their message with the world. Good morning, Alexandra. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm so excited to be here. And you know, you said the magic question, what are you passionate about? You know, I started off, I think I mentioned, or you mentioned, as a banker. My career started in finance. And not surprisingly, I got really bored after a few years. And within, I don't know, 5-6 years in that career, I realized that this was not my mission. And I really needed to figure out, I wanted to figure out what was my mission? What was my purpose? I knew there was a bigger calling. And so I loved being involved in the arts and I love supporting women. And so I somehow figured out, how can I combine those two things and create a business that I was passionate about? And so within a few years, I co-founded an online startup with my sister and my family. My sister is a painter. And fortunately, what ended up happening when I left this lucrative financial career was that I became broke following my passion. And so it took me many years to figure out, what the heck can I do? How can I really make a fruitful business being a social entrepreneur? Because that's what I consider myself, a social entrepreneur that's passionate about helping people, passionate about serving, particularly women and girls. And how can I turn that into something that actually makes money so that I can continue to serve and serve and serve? And what was very interesting is that I actually had debilitating fear of public speaking for most of my life. And when I was about a week away from resigning from this career, from this banking career, I needed to figure out, how am I going to not only create this business, because I was already in that process, but how can I really step out into the world and share my message when I'm freaking afraid? I wouldn't even have been able to do something like this. I wouldn't be able to speak, literally can't speak. I'd be coughing, sweating, just a nervous wreck. And so I realized I need to, on this journey of really sharing my message and becoming the best social entrepreneur that I could be, because I have this big mission, I needed to figure out how I can share my message. And I love, Martha, that you talked about your story and a voice and helping to create those stories and sharing the voice, because I think that that's part of my journey in being able to help and support particularly women social entrepreneurs, is helping them share their stories. And in so doing, I've worked on my own fear of public speaking and my own fear of sharing my voice in a bigger way. And so with that, when you talk about coincidences, you know, Sharifa, we booked this a couple of months ago, and I happen to have an event coming up this weekend called the Mission to Millions series. And it's all about stepping into the spotlight to make a bigger impact. So I do not believe that there are actual coincidences. I think coincidences are aligned. And especially when you're connected to spirit, and in my case, when you're connected to your mission, there, you know, the coincidences are really just divinely inspired occurrences that really take place. So I'm a huge proponent of aligning with spirit and going with going with that flow. And back to passion, that is part of your mission. I believe that when you're really aligned with what you're passionate about, then you're at least on a path, right? Because I'm interested in lots of things. I call myself multi-passionate. So I'm interested in a lot of things. And however, when I'm like, lean into what am I passionate about, really passionate about now? And how can I serve people in a bigger way with what I'm passionate about? That's where I know I'm connected and aligned with my soul's calling and my mission. So wow. Yeah.
Alexandra, that was powerful. I almost don't believe you couldn't, you know, you were afraid of public speaking. I would have thought that it just was natural for you from the day you were born. How did you get over the fear?
Mm. So a few things, I found tools to help me. So one was hypnosis. I learned hypnosis. I actually learned it on myself, but I got hypnosis on me. I did other tools like EFT, which is emotional freedom techniques and tapping. And what I do now is I get myself shift into a higher state and a higher vibration by dancing. I love to dance. I'm actually a dance instructor too. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. So I dance, I meditate, and I move to music, or at least listen to music. And that really gets me into a higher vibration before doing any type of talking.
Wonderful. Now I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the fabulous Miss Nahami Tenenbaum. Nahami is the creator and CEO of Carmela Cosmetics, a high performance, long lasting silk matte lipstick brand, flattering for all skin tones and dedicated to supporting women's healing and empowerment. Her other passion is as a marketing and image consultant and beauty advisor for both friends and followers alike. Her podcast is We Are Women. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited to be here. Why are we all talking about women's empowerment today? I think that is so cool. I think, is that a coincidence? No, not.
I was noticing that as well. And I love it how the women before me, Martha and Alexandra, were both mentioned about aligning with your passion, because that is something that I am so totally all for. So I want to give a little bit of a background about my passion, which is when I went to college, my plan was to become a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And in between my undergrad and grad school, I decided to go to makeup school. And when I was in makeup school, I realized that there was a real need for high performance natural cosmetics and luxury cosmetics. So after I graduated with my MBA in marketing, I went and launched my lipstick line. Right now we have lipsticks, we're launching eyeshadow next year. So one product at a time. And my brand is focused on diversity and female empowerment. And that happened very organically, which I think is also part of the theme of today, you know, about organic passions. I grew up in a very religious home, an Orthodox Jewish home. And even though I grew up in a small community, in a very, very religious community, my parents always taught us to be welcoming and non-judgmental and inclusive to all different types of people. So we always had different types of people coming in and out of our house. And when I launched my line, we arranged a photo shoot. It was going to be a collaboration, a collab photo shoot. And to make a long story short, I didn't see the pictures of the models beforehand. It was something that I literally just a pretty big mistake, but I forgot. The day before, I asked the makeup artist for a picture of the model, and turned out she was a religious, an Arabic woman, Muslim woman, and she was wearing a hijab. And I said to her, I mean, was she planning on taking it off? Because I kind of need hair for the photo shoot. And she said to me, I mean, I don't think she can, you know? And I said, you know what? Of course she can't. Like, I'm religious. I understand when we got married, we also cover our hair. And I said, what we're going to do is we're going to create a female empowerment campaign. That's going to be our brand. So I stepped in as the quote unquote white model. I had a black friend who was a black model, and this woman, she was going to be the Muslim model. So that's our brand picture. And after that, we teamed up with different charities supporting women. So each color collection, we donate 10% to a different charity, breast cancer, eating disorders, hair loss, endometriosis. And then after that, I launched a podcast. I'm obviously speeding up the story, but I launched a podcast where I interview different women who speak about their own challenges, not only about endo and breast cancer and all those challenges that women go through, but also other ones as well. Because I've been getting a lot of requests through social media and stuff to talk about other things. So I wanted to incorporate not everything, but you know, as many things as we could. And then during COVID, I realized that I didn't get any requests for marketing and image consulting, and I started working along those lines. So what I do is I help small business owners market themselves, and the way that I see it is that when you're aligned with your self-image, then you're able to market yourself properly and you do things that align with your personality and who you are and the way you feel. And that's when you really see abundance and success.
Mm, I love abundance and success. That's wonderful. Now, first of all, let me go back to, I love your makeup. I'm like flawless. It's beautiful. Now I'm gonna tell people who know me know, like I can, this is the extent. Like I can, this is it. Like that's all I got, right? And that really comes from years of wearing makeup and having to be in that mode. And now it's like, I don't want to get up that early and put up more makeup and anything. How long does it take you to look flawless each morning?
So it really depends. Like this morning I'm wearing a full face of makeup. So it was like a good 25 minutes, I would say. Typically I just do basics, 10 minutes. And you know what? Thank God for Instagram filters. Like, I'm not even kidding. I mean, you know, like, well, right now we need Zoom, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to take you a long time. It's, I always say like, choose three things that are important to you. Let's say you tend to have I have bags under my eyes every morning. It doesn't matter how much sleep I've gotten. I have allergies, so I always have bags. So I always use concealer, eyeliner, and lipstick. Those are my three things. So depending on, and if you love that pop of color, go for the lipstick, eyeshadow, whatever it is, you know?
Yes, I like it. Like I said, flawless. I'm just like, I don't have that much time to be, I'm like, I just like to throw on some lipstick. That's it, you know? So you're a podcast host. We have two wonderful guests, listening to Martha, listening to Alexandra. What questions would you have for them?
That's a great question. I was actually, as they were speaking, I was thinking of like contact them to have my podcast. The way that I do it is I always start with having people, the women that I interview, you know, give a little bit of a background of their childhood. And once they give that background, that's when I start asking the questions. So this, well, what I would do, I would probably ask Martha, I'm very curious to know about what she said. She spoke to the plants, like, and kind of communicated with them. Is that kind of like a clairvoyant kind of thing? Or is it more of just an energetic, like what did you mean by that? You know what I mean?
So I actually heard, so I think it's like audio, you know, I could hear very distinctive voices and I could tell the difference between a plant and animal. I'm no longer able to do it. So I can't even tell you why I knew the sounds were different, but at the time they were all really upset. It was a very agitated voice and they were trying to get me to do something. And it wasn't clear until I was about six when they started knocking down all the woodlands to make room for houses. And I think they felt the disturbance and the energy change much before it was going to happen. And they were trying to see if there was anything that I could do, you know, and I did. I tried to go to my parents, but they're like, you know, yes, we were the first house, you know, in a subdivision that took a while to get going, but now it's in full swing. And it was like, ah, this is horrible.
Wow. It makes sense from a logical perspective. I mean, just listening to it, the plants didn't want to be destroyed, you know, with these new things coming in. But there's some part of me that's going, okay, but this is a little kid. You know what I mean? What is this little kid supposed to do? But what I've also learned, and I love to hear your thoughts on this, Martha, is that a lot of time these messages, and this is what I've been told, not that I know this to be gospel, but a lot of time these voices and these messages just go out to the world. It's like screaming for help, 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 help. So they can't control, you know, who hears the message or who receives the message or who even acts on the message, because you went to your parents, you heard it, you obeyed the call, and then you went to your parents and said, hey, we have to do something. But then at that point it's out of your hands. What are your thoughts on that question?
I think you're right, Sharifa. It just goes out there. It's an energy force that if you can tap into, great, but they don't necessarily know who they're going to be able to reach and, you know, who's going to be able to get on their wavelength. But I definitely think you're right. Mm. I had this discussion today with a bunch of women about, it seems like we're finally following our passion, and that when we have like innate talents, like I think I was always supposed to be a writer, but it only took my dad shutting me down for me to turn that off. Like you could accept the things that you had to study for and you had to earn, but when it was naturally there for you, you have a harder time stepping into that because it doesn't feel, you don't feel like you deserve it or something. And it takes, you know, a certain maturity level maybe to say, it's okay. I'm supposed to be an artist. I could draw when I was a little kid. You know, it's going to take some practice, but I got this. Or yeah, a writer or makeup artist, or, you know, you just, it's, yeah, I think, and especially as women, we really have a hard time accepting our natural talents and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to jump in a second. I was going to say something similar, Martha. I think that when I work with people on kind of clarifying what their mission is, the passion piece, a lot of times I ask, like, what were you passionate about? What did you love to do as a little child? Because as a kid, we don't have the filter. You're talking about filters, right? And Nahami, you're like, we don't have those filters. And so we just kind of do what we love. Nobody's really, I mean, of course, we do have some of like the chatter from family and other people, but we do what we just love to do. And that is different and unique to everybody. And so when you were talking, Martha, about getting those messages as a little kid, to me, it makes perfect sense, especially that you were a child, because we don't have those filters. We don't have those societal things like pressures coming at us. And so I almost think that little kids in particular hear those messages probably more because they don't have that filter. They just take it for face value. Like, I receive these messages. They're not trying to like make sense of it. They're not trying to put their mind into it. They're leaving it, they're leading with their soul and their heart when they're receiving these messages.
Yeah, that's so true, Alexandra. And but you just reminded me of something, that when we're children, we don't have, it's kind of like what you're saying, but we don't have any blockages because we haven't, you know, received societal messages and things that to kind of make us doubt ourselves, you know? And it's interesting because when I speak with my clients, sometimes I ask them, you know, what are things that you just love to do that you don't get paid for? What are your superpowers that other people come to you and ask you for help, and just as friends or family, you know? So sometimes we don't think like that, but we could really, those are our passions often.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what I think happens, and I love, this is great. We all on the same wavelength today. This is some good stuff here. But I also think what happens is that we know what we love to do, but it takes this eureka-like moment for us to go, oh, I can make a living doing that. I can earn a living to that, because our society, for whatever reason, has kind of drilled in that starving artist kind of thing. Like, if you don't starve for your art and you haven't gone through it, because I think it was Alexandra who started with like, I was just broke. Like, that's what it was. But we don't realize that we have that talent to survive. Like, for me, I always talk about this. I was that person who wanted to be that person who always knew what they wanted to do. Like, some people who like, I knew I was going to be a lawyer when I was three. You know, I knew I always wanted to be a teacher, and I never had that. I always wanted that. But when I look back, I was that kid that refused to stop talking. I was in school. I talked. I drove my mom crazy because I would always be talking. Like, mom, why does that lady talk to the plants? Mom, why does that lady got on all that makeup? Mom, why does that lady laugh? Why is she scared? You know, and my mom was like, if you don't just stop, you know, that why was my favorite question. But now I earn a living as a talk show host, you know, so we don't always know what it is. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, Alexandra.
Absolutely. Yes. So I think it goes back to when you're a child, we were just talking about, we don't have that filter. We don't have those blockages. And in my particular case, I was, funny enough, a little performer and I love to be on stage. So how the heck did it go from me being a performer on stage to me having stage fright for 3 decades? Mm-hmm. It's because when it was unfiltered, when I was just being me, then I could just be me. And I loved to dance and perform and sing. And I was also talky. But when I got into my head, when I started to get those messages from others and start, you know, the fear crept in, the criticisms crept, at least in some cases it was self, like the things I thought were criticism. Maybe they were, maybe it was just feedback. But definitely, I think that there are some people who know, are really clear about an occupation when they're a little kid, but to the other point, sometimes it's just what they're their innate talents are, I think we've all kind of spoken about this, that then leads them to that career. Mm-hmm. It could be either or. I've seen many cases of both. In fact, I've seen more people that, from my experience, that don't know what they want to do as a little child, but they end up doing eventually, because they're passionate about it, what they're so good about or what they love when they were a child. In some way, it ties into their business.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have a funny story. I was like feeling, it was probably like 4 years ago. My stomach was killing me. And I'd been to like every internist, you know, every doctor I could see, no one could find anything. And so I went to this clinic in Austria where they have you see every like very different specialist than we have in America. And they also make you see a shaman. So the shaman put me into a trance, and then he woke me up and he said, "Do you do something with wolves?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I have like 50 of them in my office." He said, "Okay, never seen this before. I'm going to put you back in your trance." And then when I finally came out of it, he said, "So your stomach problems are really simple. The wolves are telling you, you need to get back in your wolf lane. You get really distracted by other environmental issues, but that's not your path in this lifetime. And as soon as you get back on your path, your stomach issues are going away." And it completely went away, and I can feel it now when I start to, you know, oh my God, the whales, and I start writing about the whales or doing, and then it's like my stomach starts hurting. It's like, whoops, not my lane right now. I gotta stay here. And I, you know, it's like the same as coincidence. I think it's like dis-ease when you, you know, you get diseases when you're following, you know, going off on another tangent that maybe that's not the place that you need to be right now.
Yes. But what's clear in what you had to say is that you listen to the messages. I mean, I think that's the just what keeps repeating and repeating, repeating with me for you, is that you hear the message and you listen to it. Most people, you know, their stomach would have hurt and they would have just been like, "Oh, I'm dying," and that's it. You're like, "No, I'm gonna keep looking. I'm gonna keep searching. I'm gonna find the reason." Because I agree wholeheartedly. I say the same thing. It's dis-ease. And what you're not doing is your body is screaming. It's telling you there's some type of dis-ease within my body. And if you fix it, then the body has the ability to heal itself. But when you're not listening to the message, it continues and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, we don't even want to talk about what can happen. Nahami, I cut you off. You were just about to make that excellent point. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Oh, no problem. No, I was just going to say that. Our bodies often tell us things, you know, we don't realize how often, you know, our pain or discomfort in our body, like Martha was, you know, talking about, especially our stomachs. Well, it depends on you know, each person's different, but I also feel things in my stomach, you know, whether it's nausea or pain. And you very often we don't tune in to our thoughts or what's going on. But very often it could just be dealt with by taking care of the stress or the problem that's happening in our lives.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I also believe that one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, is the stomach, because the stomach symbolizes gut. It's your gut instinct, your gut feeling. So we always say it, but we don't think it's literal. Go with your gut. So if your gut's happy, your body's happy. If it's not, it's like there's something here that's giving me some type of issues, and you just learn to listen. Or, you know, if not, you're going to learn to listen to your doctor. So do it the easy way. Do it the easy way. No, I wanted to go back because, Alexandra, you're a guest on what is our talk show? We are Women. You're a guest on We Are Women podcast. We always start, it's a we now, y'all notice that. We always start mm-hmm. with your childhood. So tell us a little bit about that so we can go on with the interview.
Yes. Yeah, so I sort of alluded to it a little bit ago, but I was grew up in a Hispanic household, big, you know, family oriented, get, you know, very much always together, but also a little bit critical and judgmental, I have to say, you know. And so being as I mentioned, a performer, and I wanted to sing and dance. That was the way that I was able to not only do what I was passionate about, but also got recognition because I was good at it. The thing though, is that as I got older and I started receiving what I thought was criticism, that was really, I took very personally. I happen to also be an energetic healer. So I'm an empath and I'm very sensitive. And I think that just got to me and it just overcame me. And I ended up with this debilitating stage fright starting around the time I was in middle school and into high school. And that moved over into my adult life. And speaking of issues with your body, for me, it was in my throat. Mm-hmm. So I always had sore throats and coughing issues. And, you know, it was never really like a issue where I had to get like a ton of medical treatment or anything like that. But now I know, looking back, that it was me expressing myself, me sharing my voice. And somehow I was internalizing that. So back to, and I also get issues in my gut too. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's, I know now that part of it is that little girl needed to share her voice. She wanted it to be expressed, but she was being shut down by external, by her family in some cases, and even by herself or from her own self.
Yes, those are the two most common areas. And I'm more like you, Alexandra. Mine was my voice. I always have voice issues. And that's because I was raised Muslim, right? And so it's a very submissive type of environment where women, you did not speak. That was like, you know what I mean? You're not going to have a conversation. And then also the generations that said children are to be seen and not heard. So it took me a long time for me to be able to stand in my own truth and be able to use my voice. And then now that I have my voice, oh, you can't stop me. I'm like, you know, that's one of the things I learned, because people are like, now I'm running for Senate in 2024. And it's like, what did you love about the process? I'm like, I love campaigning because I learned that no matter what they feel or who they like or what they agree with, they have to hear me. I'm a candidate. They cannot not hear me. So I'm like, ooh, I get to say whatever I want to say, you know, and that was fun to me. But I'm sorry, you're a podcast guest. I'm taking over your show. Go ahead. What's your question? She told you about your childhood. What's next?
Yeah, I was actually wondering, I was just thinking about it as Alexandra was speaking, that I wonder if it's conditioned in regards to like where you feel in your pain, I guess, and stress. Or if we're born like that, you know what I mean? Like if it was something, if your throat, the fact that you feel everything in your throat, if that's because your mission is to go out and speak and perform and inspire people and all that, you know, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, I don't know if you would necessarily know the answer to that, but it's just a thought that I had.
It's interesting. I believe, go ahead.
No, as you said, that was interesting.
Oh, yeah. So I believe that it absolutely is conditioned. I think that we grow up and we pick up on energy and we pick up on other messages that we're receiving in our childhood up until, you know, adulthood and up until today, the present day. And absolutely, I think that that is oftentimes tied into that mission. In fact, I one of the four ways that I, when I talk to my clients about how they can clarify their mission, I mentioned passion, talent, your why, and the fourth one is your story. And part of your story oftentimes is overcoming something, some challenge. Many times it's a physical ailment. It doesn't have to be, but a lot of times it's a physical ailment. So absolutely, I see many people who have overcome things in childhood that later become part of their calling and part of their mission. So I do think that it's things that we pick up in early childhood, largely, that shapes that.
And interesting, yeah. I was also really fearful to talk, like I have to talk about wolves a lot for fundraising. And my voice would get all shaky. It was like I dreaded it for weeks. And I have a daughter who's dyslexic, and she got asked to, when she was like 17, get up in front of 2,000 people at a dyslexic school that she went to. They're a big fundraiser. And, you know, she agreed to do it, which kind of shocked me. And then she wasn't writing anything down, which was making me so nervous. And they were trying to get her in the day before, because they're like, you know, the acoustics and the speaker, you know, you have to figure out where you want to put your microphone, what you're going to be wearing and where you're going to look. And she was like, yeah, I'm too busy. I can't make it in that day. And I'm just like, you're going to get up in front of, I don't want to scare her, but it's like, it's 2,000 people. I would like you to just see the room. I don't know if you even understand what 2,000 people is. And she just got up there and just like spoke like this is just what she does all the time. She was laughing. She was calling on people. I'm just sitting there. So when she gets done, I'm like, how did you do that? And she was like, what do you mean? And I said, you were just so poised. Why weren't you nervous? And she was like, I'm just telling my story from my heart. Why, how could that make you nervous? It's not someone else's words, it's my life. And so I've just really tried to, every time now, I become such a better speaker from that. Cause it's like, yeah, I'm not trying to bullshit you about wolves. I'm telling you like my experience with wolves and why I think they're important. There's nothing, yeah, that isn't magical about that. I should be able to say that with a straight face.
That is powerful though. We learn the what is that? The young will lead us. You know what I mean? And I believe with speakers, you have to find your style. You have to find what works for you. Everybody has their own style. I'm more like your daughter, right? And that's probably because, not that your daughter is, but that I just, I'm trying to find a nice word, way of saying lazy. I'm trying to find a more professional way of saying it. Like, I don't feel like doing all that work and preparation and all of that. For, you know, I just love to come and speak. But one of the things that I always do is I always pray and I always say, God, speak through me. Give the audience, give the room the message that they need to hear. Because it's just kind of like the roundtable talk show for me. It's the freedom of seeing where it's going to go. Because one, my favorite thing is I love to speak, but more than that, I love Q&As. Because what I found when I would speak is I would leave and then people would come up to me and they go, Sharifa, I really want to know this. I really want to know that. Can you tell me this? And I'm like, well, I, you know what I mean? Like, I could have talked about that, when I, you know, for everybody. And so now I leave a lot more room. I'm like, hi, I'm Sharifa Hardy. This is what I do. What do you want to know? And I did this at an ashram one day. And if anybody's been to an ashram, just imagine an ashram with a whole bunch of people. And I gave them no speech. I just said, look, what do you want to know? And I had them meditate for 5 minutes. They closed their eyes and I said, what do you want to know? And 5 minutes later, I said, does anyone have a question? They was like, no, we don't even know who you are. I was like, okay, well, close your eyes again. We're going to meditate some more until someone has a question. And then 5 minutes later, we finished the meditation. One guy asked the question. 2 hours later, we finished this whole thing. But I hardly ever plan ahead, but that's just me. I just let whatever happens, happens. Nakami?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I was just thinking that when I first launched my podcast, I used to prepare all the questions in advance. So I would have a list of about 20, 25 questions in the specific order that I thought that the conversation would flow in. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. And then I realized that the conversations flowed so much better when I just prepared like the first question and then saw how the conversation went, you know, because there's something about authenticity that has to just happen naturally. And then people feel more comfortable. You're not pressured to answer the question. To ask the question. And then also going along the same lines in business and your story, I also used to feel very nervous before interviews and stuff. And then I realized that I'm just sharing my truth. I'm just sharing my story. And when you're, and that's real authenticity, not trying to come up with a version of whatever it is. It's just being you and sharing your truth. That's all it is.
Yeah, I so agree. So I've been doing probably like 5 podcasts a week now since July to promote my novel. And you can really tell the people that aren't leaving that script. And so you know that they can't be actively listening to them, because it's so jarring when you've taken that question and gone over here and then they rip you over here. And it's like, don't you think there was a lot in that last bit that we should go off from? And you just, yeah, I think it's right. It's active listening, not just being, have enough confidence in yourself. You can carry on this conversation without these notes over here. You can always go back to them if it really gets bad, but for the most part, you know how to carry on a conversation.
I love conversations. Mm-hmm. I love organic conversations. And even before I started the Roundtable Talk Show, I would do that with my one-on-one interviews. I launched my first radio show, Ask Sharifa Radio, in 2009. And there were no questions. And I, to this day, thousands of interviews, I never do pre-show interviews. And people always want to do a pre-show interview so I could find out about them. And then I will always go, well, what are we going to talk about on the show? Like, that's when I get to ask all my questions. That's when I'm like, oh, and then we see what direction, because if not, it's boring to me. It's scripted. I know all the answers. And what I found just from doing interviews and being the guest, I just know that if they ask me, if they have a list of questions, I already know how this is going to go, exactly like Martha said. But I also find it a little bit, and I don't want to use the word unethical though, when people send me, I had one interview where I was just irritated. They sent me a list of 25 questions and then proceeded to ask me a whole bunch of questions that were not on the list. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Like, wow. The whole point of it is for, you know what I mean? To prepare, to have, and they did not ask me a single question out of the 25. I was like, Alexandra, that bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, I would feel the same way as you. I would definitely feel the same, especially 25 questions. I mean, if for that, don't even send the questions if you're not even gonna give any of the or offer any of the questions. For sure, I would feel the same.
I felt like,
and
I
there's something
blindsided.
About over preparing. Sometimes there was like, it's like they're over preparing, but then they like under prepared you.
Yes, because I felt blindsided. I felt like if you were gonna ask me these questions, why not send me those questions, you know, because I just felt kind of blindsided and off kilter, and it was not one of my best interviews. I'm not saying it was their fault. I'm just saying it was not one of the best interviews, and it shows. I think I love organic. I love natural because I love the human race. You know, people are so amazing if you give them an opportunity to shine. I want to go back to you, Martha. I want to go back to, like, I think the original part of your conversation when you were talking about the transition from the plants into this tragedy that happened with your best friend's son at 12. You said you heard his voice and you were journaling. After that, because sometimes when things happen, a lot of things just start to happen. Did you start hearing other voices? Did you become more clearer audio, I think is what it's called, if you hear the voices? Did more things begin to happen?
Oh yeah, when you open up that, yes. that door, and I had to kind of go through it, Alexandra, like you have to like learn techniques for like how to shut other people up. And when it first started happening, I kept incorporating them into the novel. And then I'd be like, wait a minute, this character does not even belong here. Stop it. And it was very this meditative process of like, I only want to hear from Brendan. Like he's the only one that's allowed to speak to me. And when I finish this novel, I might be open to other speakers. And I know you all have a lot to talk about with death and other things, but this isn't going to be your platform because this is just, and it doesn't really follow this boy's life as much as for some reason he was there just egging me on and telling me this. And I, you know, and I didn't know the ending when I started the book, but things happen in real life, which I incorporated into the story. So yeah, it was really magical, but yes, other voices come in. They all, you know, I really love that book Signs, because our loved ones definitely send us signs. When my mother passed away, we agreed that she would send me feathers. And we're so good now, I can even ask her more than yes, no questions, because she can point the feathers in different directions to try to show me something. And it's just like, it's just a magical opening up, believing that, you know, those spirit guides and souls and loved ones are never very far from us, and we can call on them anytime for any reason.
Do you do sessions with people? Do you work with people?
No.
Okay, that's very
good. That would not be in my wolfling dream. I would start getting stomach aches.
I'm trying to add things to your plate. You're supposed to be over here.
No.
On other stuff. I'm sorry, my bad. No, the reason that question came to my mind though was, I'm sure you had to see the movie Ghost.
Yes.
Because it reminds me of that scene, because a lot of people miss it. Like Whoopi Goldberg was literally kind of faking prior to Patrick Swayze. And then when she could hear Patrick Swayze, all of a sudden she could hear everyone. So I was like, I wonder if this just opened some door and all of a sudden all the dead people are like, Martha, 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 I need to talk to you, Martha. Wow. That's great. Has either of you had an experience like that? I'm just curious now.
Yeah, for me, it's, I don't know what to call them, but I call them, well, I do know what to call them. I call them angelic beings, mm-hmm. but I don't know exactly what they are. And I see, feel, and hear them. And then I also get intuitive guidance. And so that's kind of how I've been. You know, for me, I'm really big on just listening. I think we were talking a little bit ago about active listening and getting quiet and quieting my mind as best as possible. And I'm always hearing something. And I think I'm the one, the Claire that has to do with the feeling, because I just, or, and the knowing, because I just feel and know.
Claire, you know? Cognizant, so that's, and Claire, I'm Claire Cognizant. And I forgot the Claire Sentius, I believe.
Sentient, something like that. One of those things. And it doesn't really matter. It's just, I know, mm-hmm. I just know when I know. And so part of that also is getting support by those divine beings. And it's a very comforting feeling. Cause I think that sometimes, one of the things when we talk about like intuition, for me, it doesn't, sometimes people think, well, if I'm scared about something or I'm afraid, or I have fear, is that, you know, divine? And the way that I like to see it is when you're, everything, there's love or fear, you know, everything either falls on that. And so for me, if I'm being divinely inspired to something that I think is, or that I find loving, caring, joyful, peaceful, unifying, that to me is divine. Anything that's like getting me away from that, I have to question what's really, where am I getting that message from? Now, of course, I can get a divine message that tells me, hey, don't go down that street because there might be something, you know, trouble down there. But it's always like, it's always in a loving way. And I don't know if any of you have felt like that, but there's definitely a difference. It's like expansive versus contractive, I think is the best way if I can explain it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel that. I call it tapping in. That's what I call. It's like when I'm trying to make a decision or try to get a feeling on something, I tap into the energy of it. What does the energy feel like? You know, and that's why I love being like an adult and being older, because now I'm like, I tapped in and I go with it. Before I would waver, like, I don't know, it kind of feels, and I'm like, mm-mm. Now I can make split level decisions based on just tapping into my gut instinct and going with it. Yes, that's kind
of. And I think it's learning to, the difference between the gut and the head. So I think mm-hmm. the gut, when it has fear, it's because there's negative energy around you and you need to get out, you know, move, get to your car, get in a safe place, whatever. There's that great book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin De Becker. And he basically takes traumatized people that have somehow have been raped, have been beaten. And he takes you back and makes you see that you were picking up this stuff. I don't like the way he got too close. I didn't like the way he said this. You were picking up on it and doing nothing about it. So he gives you back your power. If you had tuned into your gut, you would have gotten out of that situation, but you didn't. So it's never going to happen again because you're going to learn to go there. When it's the fear that coming from your head, that it's just keeping you in this loop tape, like you're not good enough. You can't be a writer. You're never going to be able to, you know, do this or do that. And you don't make any movement at all because it just is overwhelming. That fear does nobody, you know, any good. You gotta like, nope, sorry. I don't listen to you. I only listen to the gut.
The gut. Yes, Nakali, do you, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I have very strong intuition and I don't know what it's called. I think Alexandra mentioned it, but I feel things in my body. So I typically, like when I listen to my gut, when I'm aligned with something, I just feel relaxed, you know? And sometimes, like Martha mentioned, I have to kind of ask myself, is this coming from a place of a higher vibration or a lower vibration? You know, is it because maybe I'm just exhausted, so I'm a little bit shaky or something, you know what I mean? Or maybe I'm just really hungry, or I don't know what it is, or, is there a real fear here? Is there a legitimate thing to worry about? So I try to tune into that. But I definitely feel things in my body and usually know if I should be doing it or not. There's this alignment that I feel even when, you know, such a small, it's not such a major thing, but even when I started, you know, charging for my marketing and image consulting, because I had been doing it for years and for friends and family. And then someone asked me, a matchmaker actually called me to ask me if I could work with some of her clients who are having trouble getting guys to agree to go out with them. And when I started doing that, all of a sudden I felt this excitement in my gut and I felt this alignment and this sort of like higher vibrational feeling. And I realized that this is what I should be doing, which is why I added it to my roster of Carmela Cosmetics. And now I do this as well. And then even with dating, I feel like, you know, I sometimes get these feelings and I haven't listened to them all the time, and then I regret it after. So it's really about the power of your gut.
Mm-hmm. And listening, tuning in, yes. Taking the actions that are necessary. I love it. This has been an incredible show. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Alexandra.
My biggest takeaway is I want you to feel empowered and inspired and listen and then trust the messages and the guidance that you're getting. As we've talked about, listen to your body, because that's guidance that's helping us on the path of our mission.
Mm. And if people want to work with you, where can they find you?
Yes. So I'm hosting an interview series called the Mission to Millions series. And you can go there to missiontomillionsseries.com. And we actually have an event coming up this weekend, but there's going to be an ongoing events and series. And that's the best way to find me.
Fantastic. Thank you. Nahami.
Sure. So I would love women to know that even though we might, you know, look different and come from different ethnicities and different places, we all are so much more similar than we are different. And that's so important to remember. And also that just go with your passion. You know, we're expected to know what we're going to do with our lives when we're 18, you know, before you go to college, but just life could take you just as it took all of us here, you know, in different places. Just go with your gut, go with the way you feel, and go with what feels aligned to you.
Yes, I think that's a powerful message. That's why we say, you heard the joke. How do you make God laugh? You tell him your plans. Because God is like, oh, you think that's what you're about to do? Oh, that's funny. That's cute. So where can people find out more information about you?
So they could either go to my website, my cosmetics website, which is CarmelaCosmetics.com. That's Carmela with a K, K-A-R-M-E-L-A. Or if they want to work with me as a marketing and image consultant, they can head over to NECHAMI.com, N-E-C-H-A-M-I.com. And there are actually links. My websites are interlinked, so they'll find me from either one. Or Instagram, we're all over.
Fantastic. Thank you. Miss Martha, I love your dog. You got a white dog. I love pets. I'm a pet person. He's just so quiet. I'm sorry. I get distracted easily. Go ahead, Martha.
So my takeaway is for those that are going through grief to move to growth and gratitude from the experience. That's what my novel is about. I hope you'll read it. Winter of the Wolf, you can buy it on my website, marthahunthandler.com. And to learn more about what I do with wolves, which is basically we educate people why wolves are so important.
Why are they so important?
They're so important because the best video is a YouTube video called How Wolves Change Rivers. Because they sit at the top of the pyramid, they go after their favorite meal is ungate, so anything with a hoof. So when they were taken out of Yellowstone, all massacred would be a better word. All those animals, so the buffalo, the elk, and the deer were able to overgraze everything. They had no predator, so they never moved. You know, they would decimate, meaning all the tree saplings. So the beavers disappeared, the bird songs disappeared, the rabbits disappeared. It was just floodplain. So the rivers stopped going into the actual riverbanks because there wasn't any trees to keep them in there. So it was just a flooded out wasteland. And then very quickly when wolves came back, they got it. They smelled them, they ate a little and moved, and everything started magically coming back. And we could never have imagined that it could happen as quickly as it did. So the two, we work on behalf of the two most critically endangered wolf species, which are the red wolves and the Mexican gray wolves. They were down to single digits in the world. They were brought into captivity to start a breeding and pre-release facility. So that's what we do. And then we advocate on their behalf. So we go to DC to fight for bills. We have millions of followers. So we get them to sign on to petitions, to call their congressmen, et cetera, when things are going on. They're at a really critical stage right now. So if you want to learn more and watch our wolves, the other day, my husband was like, I'm watching your wolves. There's three sleeping wolves and you have like 200,000 people watching it. Like, yes, because we're the only ones that have videos. So that website is nywolf.org.
I love it. But what it just reminds me of in a simplistic way is that we're all connected. We're all one. You can't just destroy one and not have it affect the other. And I think more people need to keep that in mind. This has been an excellent show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I definitely want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show today doesn't mean you're not important, whether you're watching it 2 days from now, 5 weeks from now, 8 years from now. We appreciate your support and we ask that you please go ahead and share the show. But like I always say, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here to share their story, their journey with you. So please support them. Pick up a copy of Martha's book. Go ahead and schedule you a session with Alexandra. It might just change your life. And you know you need some new makeup. That makeup you have is old, outdated. Get you some new stuff. All of the links are in the Facebook post. Visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Reach out to our guests. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.